Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Amen. If you're not as close to Jesus as you ought to be, what are you waiting on? There's no reason to be alienated from Him. As the song said, the question really is, why would He come to us? It should never be, why won't people come to Him? Right? It's illogical to think that what God has offered to mankind, man would refuse. It goes beyond what normal people should simply consider. Why should I gain?
Right.
Why should I receive a reward for His suffering?
Yeah.
Amen. I can't give an answer. But this I know with all of my heart. His wounds paid my ransom. And there's a longing in my soul to be close to Him. Not alienated, not out of fellowship, not in a position where I'm contrary to the will or the purpose of God for my life. No, there ought to be a desire, an ever-increasing desire, to get closer and closer to the Lord. Turn with us tonight to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, appreciate the Spirit of God tonight. It's been a rest for my soul already. Just to be able to be in the presence of God and His people, I appreciate your faithfulness and your love for Him. It sure blesses me. So keep it up. Keep it up. For context, we'll begin at verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We'll stop right there. Lord, thank You for Your word. We pray that You would open it to our hearts. And Lord, may we receive that. We recognize that it must be voluntary on our part to receive this, and so we must on purpose open our heart and be subject to what this says and what it means. So reveal it to us, and may Your Spirit make it so. We thank You for what You're going to do as we pray for Your direction and the unction in doing it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Again, as I studied and prayed through this several times this week, again I found myself repenting at how little attention I had given this particular passage of Scripture in the past, and I'll probably continue to confess that as we look at it. But what He has shared with me has certainly brought conviction in my heart. Maybe it won't yours, but I trust that we'll be honest as we receive the word tonight. I want us to look at the term merciful and what it means to be a merciful person. When Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, then certainly it's necessary we understand what did He mean. And when you think of the term merciful, sometimes we certainly think of what God did in pardoning our sin. That was merciful. And when we think of all that He does for us, certainly His mercy is in abundance. When you think of all the gifts that God has given us, is he not merciful? Because as I think about the good things that God has given and what he has done in my life, certainly love is at the bottom or the agenda for God. Love is the base motive to which God functions and to who God is. But because of that love, he is merciful to me. Merciful, meaning that I didn't really deserve what I'm getting. Had I got what I deserved, I would have received something else. But there was mercy instead of justice. Oh, how merciful is our God. And yet, in this particular passage, Jesus says that we should also be merciful. I jotted down in my notes some things specific concerning those merciful persons that Matthew Henry described, and I found them very helpful. And I want to share them with you today. I'll take my time, in case you're making notes, I'll take my time, because I believe they were helpful to me, so I suspect it will be helpful to all. Number one, those are the merciful who are piously and charitably inclined to pity. Think about that. Inclined to pity. Inclined to help. Inclined to assist persons in misery. I don't see anybody smiling and thinking, well, that's me right there. Inclined to pity. Number two, a man may be truly merciful who has not wherewithal to be bountiful or liberal, but God knows the heart. How many times have we longed to pity and yet not had something to assist someone with? I like how that he noted God knows our heart. Here's the point in making that one. I started to leave that one out, but here's the point in making that one. Do not limit yourself to pity or compassion for another human just because you don't have the wherewithal to solve their problem. Right? Some of us may excuse ourselves from circumstances because we have already said, I cannot help, and therefore I shall not feel. We're not excused from having compassion whether we can assist or not assist. I thought that helpful. Number three, we must not only bear our own afflictions patiently, but we must, by Christian sympathy, partake of the afflictions of our brethren. Pity must be shown and bowels of mercy put on, and being put on, they must put forth themselves in contributing all we can for the assistance of those who are anyway in misery. Number four, we must have compassion on the souls of others and help them. We must pity the ignorant and instruct them. Notice that being merciful can include instructing someone. We must have compassion on the careless and warn them. We must have compassion on those who are in a state of sin and snatch them as brands out of the burning fire. This gives being merciful a whole new definition, doesn't it? Number five, the last one. We must have compassion on those who are in sorrow and comfort them. on those whom we have advantage against, and not be rigorous and severe with them, on those who are in want, and supply them, which if we refuse to do whatever we pretend, we have shut up the bowels of our compassion. And there are references to that we'll speak to in the message tonight. So being a merciful person really is about being compassionate. When looking into the life of someone else, and the old saying goes that someone always has it worse than you do. You can always look around and someone who has it harder than you. That's certainly a true statement. But when we find those that are living in misery, living in sorrow, is it our first response to examine and judge the action and circumstance and determine, well, they got what they deserved? That's the easy out. And one you have all likely taken. They made their bed, that's exactly how our human mind will see things. Oh, I'm glad that God is not like that. Right? How many times did I make a bed that he saved me from laying in? And why did he do that? Because he had compassion, mercy for me. You see, in light of all that God has done for me, what right do I have to refuse or reject assistance, support, help, pity, compassion in any way to any other human being on this earth? What right would I have to shut up in my own bowels compassion that has been given to me so freely? What right would I ever have to look at another who is less advantaged or in a miserable condition and say, they're getting what they asked for, they're getting what they deserve? If we get what we deserve, we're all in trouble. Blessed are the merciful. Who are the merciful? Are we the merciful? As I read just the short definitions or explanations of Matthew Henry, it became pretty clear that I've missed the mark as pertains to mercy. Simply reading over it and thinking to myself that mercy is something that a judge can give. Mercy is something that maybe someone who is always in the right can administer. And yet what he's saying is really mercy has nothing to do with truly understanding the full circumstance or situation of another, or understanding even what the will of God is in their life, or why something is happening, or to whom something is happening. But simply that regardless of one's condition, that when we see them and recognize that there is real sorrow, there is real misery, there is real suffering there, that we have compassion on them simply because they're suffering. Does not our God look that way? Is not he so merciful that he lets even the unjust live day after day? Is there not opportunity time after time? I look in the very back of the church, and here sits a man who for most of his life lived for someone else, and yet God was merciful, amen? God was gracious, God was sustaining, even when we lived contrary to the will of God, and in our heart may have even been a hatred for God or his people, and yet the mercy of God kept us alive all that time, kept us fed, kept us going, and yet in our own heart we can look at someone who is less fortunate and say to ourselves, I will not be merciful, I will not give what they need. I want you to turn with us tonight, as the primary direction for the message will come from Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. I ask you to turn because I believe the importance of the word and the importance of students of the word to know what it says and apply it to our own lives. Luke chapter number 10. I'm going to begin tonight, verse number 29. This is the story of the Good Samaritan. Most Bible readers know where we're going with this, but as clearly as anything could be put, Jesus addresses the problem concerning the rich young ruler, the lawyer that had come to him and had said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, he said, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered and said, "Well, I should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And I have to love my neighbor as myself," he said. Jesus said to him, "You've answered right. This do and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, verse 29, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Who then exactly are you saying that I must love? Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Verse number 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Right? There's the key. You see, what motivated the man to go to him in the first place was something on the inside. When he saw him, he pitied the man's condition. He didn't ask why he was walking through the night or why he was subjecting himself to a place where thieves often hung out. He wasn't sitting on the sideline trying to contemplate whether he had wherewithal to fully take care of the man. He didn't even know the situation. And yet there was something inside of him that compelled him to go to him. And what the scripture said clearly is that it was compassion. He could see enough to know that the man was suffering. He was half dead. He was desperate for help. And there was no one to assist. Verse number 34, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three," speaking now to the lawyer, he said, "which now of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." He that showed mercy on him. Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." It's the same thing he's saying in Matthew 5. He said, "Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they that when they see those that are in such a condition of misery that their heart is compelled to assist, whether or not they have the wherewithal to assist, whether or not they understand fully what's needed to assist, it doesn't change the fact that from their heart, there is a compassion, there is a pity that is given to those that are in desperate need. Mercy comes from compassion. Not because we owe someone, not because we simply want to have it reciprocated if we need help ourselves. And yet Jesus did warn of that, right? And yet what he's telling us here is, blessed are they whose hearts truly is motivated, that in every circumstance they are willing to assist. They're willing to be involved. They're willing to give and give cheerfully. They're willing to open up their heart, to open up their home, to open up their time, to open up every asset, every resource, everything they have to assist those that are in need. And you say, well, preacher, if I did that everywhere and all the time, pretty soon I'd be the one needing assistance. May I say to you today that the God you serve is greater than all of these other things. I can assure you that if he can trust you, a friend, to be merciful to another, his promise to you was that you would obtain mercy. What a promise that is. To be able to say that in every circumstance, there is one that will never leave me. There is one that will always support me and always assist me and always provide for me. There is one that knows my heart, knows everything that I need, and he has promised to be merciful. How in the world can we shut up then our own heart to those who are in despair? I'm quite certain that in every circumstance, when we are willing and sympathetic, when there is a compassion in our heart to assist and serve someone else, whatever it is that we needed, if we're willing to give it, I can tell you God will bless for it. You say, how do you know? Because his promise is tied to the statement, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And if God can help me, what other assistance is there? And yet he's asked us to be merciful. The challenge is today that our mercy has been limited. We've limited it for multiple reasons, and we've already shared the whys. But when we think about the importance of mercy, I want you to think about what he said concerning those that were ignorant, and the importance that we have mercy and we stop and instruct them. To those who are bound by sin, that we have the willingness, the compassion of heart to say, do you know that you are bound in this sin? Do you see your condition? Do you recognize that there is a God, and his way is perfect and his will is perfect, and he'll judge us all of sin one day? Are we in that place where there's a compassion that rules in our heart, that regardless of whether a man is a Jew or a Gentile, regardless of whether it's male or female, whether they're bond or free, regardless of their situation, we are willing to be merciful givers in all circumstances? I wonder if what he had said was, blessed are the cheerful givers, if we'd have got it. If we'd have recognized. But oh, it's not just the cheerful giving. It's the willingness, you see, to be a part of something that ultimately you didn't cause or you didn't control. You say, as we excuse ourselves from certain circumstances, I didn't have anything to do with that. I don't want to get involved. I may get hurt. It may cost me feelings. It may hurt. They may come back and do something else. May I say to you today that there is an importance in simply having compassion on our fellow man. Oh, how desperate we need to be concerning those who suffer. In this country, there's something called the Good Samaritan Law. You ever heard of it? If you see somebody that is in need, and because from the compassion of your heart, you involve yourself in their situation, there is something that protects you in that. Right, because we've got some pretty silly people in this country. Somebody jump in and try to help them, and then they turn around and sue them. The Good Samaritan Law is meant to protect people, have a common compassion for their fellow man, and willingly engage in circumstances where otherwise they might stand off and let one simply die or something else. There's a responsibility as we look among us to those that are hurting. Now, I want to break this down just simply. As I look around me, I don't see people starving, right? But I also don't live on the streets where they starve. I don't see the homeless, but I don't live where the homeless live. The reason that I don't see some of these things is because I'm never it where they are. But that doesn't remove from the knowledge of my own mind that they exist. And there are things that we can do. there are opportunities that we can take. And certainly for those who find these particular parts of our society as missions of their own, we can support them. We can be a part of that in many different ways. There are all kinds of things that allow us every day to be merciful people. Oh, as I look about me, what I see more than anything are people bound by sin. But what am I doing about that? How many times am I willing to involve myself in their life to try to instruct them or to advise them in a godly way? To share with them the truth concerning what the Word of God says. How many people do we know in love? Amen. People that are good Christian people that are snared by the enemy's trap. And yet we haven't reached them yet. We haven't got to them yet. We haven't helped them yet. How many of us truly, if we were honest, missing some sympathy? Missing that extra unction within us that causes us maybe to lose sleep or to have to open up our own basket and pour in from our own oil and wine into the wounds of a neighbor. How many of us could offer our own beast or provide our own money in support? How many of us could give care that is basic in supporting them and their life? There's people that are better at this than others. But I contend tonight that I'm not talking about one's gift or particular bent. As one, God has certainly created people among us that care by nature more than others. A lot of them end up nurses, caregivers, things of that nature. Now you got to love that stuff to do it. Amen. And I thank God for the people that do it. That does not excuse me ever from being compassionate, ever, in any situation. Blessed are the merciful. 1 John chapter number 3, turn with us there. It'll be the last place I ask you to turn. The rest of them, I'm just going to quote it to you. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 16. Here, by the way, is another John 3:16. That is worthy of memorization if you have not already. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. He asked a simple question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth the love of God in such a person that can shut up their bowels of compassion concerning someone that is in need, especially a brother or a sister in Christ? 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, the importance of living a life that is filled with mercy toward others. You see, mercy engages us often when we're not expecting it, right? A lot of us prepare our own minds and our hearts as we go to Walmart or wherever during Christmas, right? And we hear that ringing bell. You've prepared. You got 50 cents extra. You've got it ready. I contend that we need to be ready all the time, right? We need to be prepared and in such a way that mercy by compassion rules in our heart, that when we see a person, whether it be a spiritual problem, a spiritual point of desperation, whether it be physical, we are simply willing to be a part of the solution. Yeah. I may not always have the wherewithal or the ability to help someone, but just getting involved is help. Just recognizing that someone is in need is a help. There's sometimes, I promise you, when you pick up somebody's hand and they tell you they've got stage 4 cancer and a week to live, you're not going to rescue them. but your words are a comfort. Your presence is mercy. Just peace that comes from your own heart as you share what you know to be the anchor of our hope. That is merciful as you share it with someone that is in a desperate need. Have we shown mercy everywhere? Have we truly been merciful? As we look at our neighbor and recognize they're on the wrong road. Are we truly merciful and compassionate as we see them that are plodding along and every day building greater destruction against their own soul? Have we truly been compassionate as we consider the despair they're in? I've often told myself they won't listen, as if that is an excuse not to be merciful. Jesus never told them to consider the ground they were sowing on. He just said, sow. Right? He understands the ground. He knows who will and won't hear. And most of the time, he didn't tell me the difference. Right. He just puts me in front of them. And I have the choice to make whether or not I'm merciful, compassionate, willing to share. Let me use one last illustration, and it's one that Jesus used as well. He said to a man concerning his own compassion for a person, right? That poor woman that he was looking down on so condescendingly. Jesus said, let me tell you a story. He said there was a king that had a couple of debtors. One owed him great deal of money, right? In today's terms, maybe $1 million. And he said another one owed him maybe five. I'm trying to put it in our terms so you know how big a difference it was monetarily. He said when it come time to pay, he called the one that owed him so much money. And when he couldn't pay, he said, well, I'm going to put you in prison until you pay it off. And you know what the man begged for? He said, have mercy on me. And he said, I'll repay you. And the Bible said that the king, in the goodness of his heart, had compassion on him. And the scripture said he forgave him of the debt. Now put yourself in the... You see, what I owed God was $1 million. Not five. My transgressions against God was the one of the exorbitant value. When I believed in Christ, he forgave all the debt. Not that it was not paid, but Jesus paid it for me.
Right. Amen.
He forgave all the... What right would I have to ever withhold love or compassion, mercy on my fellow man? 'Tis the most hypocritical thing that I could ever do. Speaking of hypocrites, the man who had been forgiven of such great a debt ran out, and as soon as he went out, he found someone that owed him a very small amount of money, and he took him by the throat and said, pay me or I'm going to throw you in the prison. And the man begged for mercy. And he said, I'll pay you all of it as soon as I can, but have mercy on me. And he would not have mercy on him, and he cast him into prison. And word got back to the king that he had done this. And you know what the Bible said about the king? He was exceedingly wroth. You get where I'm going with this? I don't know about you, but it terrifies me to think at the times when I shut up my bowels of compassion, how God must have felt. I can tell you what he felt about this man. He was mad. He was absolutely furious. went out, had him captured, brought back in and said, hey, I forgave you all of that. And you're not willing to forgive that man of that amount? He said, no, you're not forgiven. As a matter of fact, you'll pay everything. You and your family are cast into prison until it is all paid off. May I say to you today that God takes this seriously. For you and I to choose when we will or will not be merciful is hypocritical. It is wicked. It is wicked. John said it like this. How in the world, how dwelleth the love of God in someone that can shut up their bowels of compassion when they see a brother in need and have the ability to help them and do not help? Yeah. Let's just get to the bottom line. It don't make any difference what you've got. Hear me now. There ain't anything you've got he can't take. Not one penny. You think that you're going to jeopardize your own future, your own security, your own comfort somehow or another by giving something to somebody who's desperate. May I say to you today that what God has promised is that if you will give, he will take care of you. I believe this is a very serious issue. Because we fail to have mercy upon those who are truly the deepest of despair among us. Acts chapter number 25. We'll close with this. As we've done with the others, this one also has blessings involved with it, right? That's what the Beatitudes are about, is the blessing that is promised within the directive. He says, do this and you will be fully satisfied. By who? By him. Right? The promise is not given by the pastor. The promise is given by God himself. Jesus said, here's what I'm promising. Here's what I'm guaranteeing you. If you are merciful, you will obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but if there's anything I want and I need from God desperately every day, I need mercy.
Amen.
I need mercy. I need it poured out on me. I need it when I fail. I need the mercy of God to rescue me over and over. And Jesus is promising that the greatest of my needs is a guarantee if I will also be merciful. Let's go back quickly to the Lord's Prayer. You remember that part where he said, forgive us of our debts as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. What is that? It's mercy.
Right. Amen.
Right? Forgive my debt as I forgive those that have debt against me. Mercy. Right in the heart of the prayer that Jesus prayed. I believe this is a serious point. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When? Well, as all the other promises, we will obtain mercy now and eternally. Think about this. Acts chapter number 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Let me quote it to you. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Now, what's he saying? He said, I have showed you by example how I worked for a living, he said, and was able with what I had earned to do what? Help. There's another place in the gospel that he said, you that steal no more and go to work that you may be able to help people. That's what he said. He didn't say go to work so you could get happy because your cupboards are full. He said, no, go to work so that you might be able to help somebody else. That gives a new direction for us that have to get up and go to work every day, doesn't it? Is that the purpose wasn't necessarily to make me fat, but it was looked
to those among me who might be less fortunate and in need. And not to shut up my bowels of compassion, but recognize that God gave me something. And I don't even, I absolutely am confident that He doesn't intend for me to find confidence in what He gave me as if in it could save me. It could protect me. It could secure me. Let me finish the statement. Acts 20, verse 35, He said, I showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that was the apostle specifically saying, oh yeah, by the way, let me remind you of what Jesus Himself said concerning giving, being merciful, being compassionate and pitiful toward others. He said Jesus was clear. It's a whole lot better to give it away than to get it. Romans chapter number 15, verses 1 through 3. Romans 15, verses 1 through 3. I'll read them to you. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, he said ought. I believe what he meant was, he said if your heart ain't in it. Yeah. Right? What did he say in the book of Corinthians about love? Yeah. And what did he call love in that chapter? Charity. And charity is what? It's being merciful to those that are in need by giving. Benevolence. And yet, what did he say? He said, you can give your body to be burned, but if you didn't love. He said, you can give everything you have to the poor. He said, but if you didn't love. Right? If it wasn't in charity. He said, you can give your very body to be burned. A sacrifice. He said, but if it wasn't done in love. He said, it profited you nothing. Yeah. You don't think God's serious about being merciful? Right? What he said in one place was, he said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He said, what do you mean? He said, when you give, he said, it ought to be in secret. How come? That way you don't get any of the credit. How come? Because you didn't get it except God gave it to you. Since when do we deserve the credit for something God did? If you've got anything, He gave it to you. Amen. And I assure you, He can take it. Every bit of it, He can take it. If that's where your hope is, let me give you some writing on the wall. He will take that. If your hope is in it. Amen. Because your Father knows better than to let you hope in something like that. Yeah. That dangerous business, hoping in something like a dollar. All right. Romans 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, that hurts, don't it? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. And we'd all say amen. Amen. That's blessings now. All right. What I can absolutely assure you is that God. The psalmist said it like this. He said, I once was young, but now I'm old. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Or his seed begging for bread. Now, that's a general statement, I realize, but I also believe that God takes care of His own. I do. You say, how do you? Because He has over and over. It's just my experience. I can't tell you, but what I know, God has been good to me. And I ain't deserved it. So therefore, that is mercy. It's just merciful to God to be so kind and benevolent and giving.
Everybody pay attention. Everybody is responsible for this. We cannot shut up our heart of love towards someone else for any reason. Any reason. You say, well, I don't have $5 extra. I don't have it. That doesn't mean you can't love somebody. Doesn't mean you can't be merciful of heart. Can't be. It doesn't. Sometimes it ain't monetarily that they need anyhow. Right? Sometimes it's a pan of cornbread and the love that went behind it. It'll cost us. But what good is an offering to God that didn't cost me something? I feel a bit of a moocher anyhow. Because Lord knows if I've got anything to give him, he gave it to me. It wasn't because I was in some way extraordinary and earned it myself. The blessing of being merciful is now. Because you will obtain mercy now. Galatians 3:20. Right? Everybody jot that one down in your mind. Go home and look that one up. And then shout for a little while. According to his riches, he's given me above what I could ever have asked or thought. And yet we choose at times to be unmerciful. Hypocrisy. Last, the blessing is not only for now, we will obtain mercy now. Amen. Does everybody agree with that one? Amen. It is mercy flowing from God toward us all the time, every day. We obtain mercy now, but also for eternity. The mercy of God will be to us the ultimate and eternal blessing. In the judgment, it is the mercy of God through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ ultimately that delivers us into eternity with Christ. Mercy. Pure and simple. He was merciful. He didn't have to be, but he loved us. And that love was what motivated the action. You see, mercy is the action of the love. That car don't move without love, right? Love's the fuel. But mercy is the vehicle. Mercy is what takes it. Mercy is what goes and gets there. Psalms 23, verse number 6, the psalmist said it like this as he had talked about the goodness of the shepherd. This is the last verse of Psalms 23, by the way. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the now. And then what did he say? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what a blessing. Yeah. Brother talking about that hope rescuing him every day. That's right. Not only should we be encouraged as God is merciful to us over and over every day. Merciful, I mean giving us a great blessing every day of all sorts. But there is a day coming when I will receive the ultimate blessing of his mercy. And he will open that book, Bruce, and my name will be there. Because he has forgave my debt. All of it. Forgave it all. And it is just hypocrisy to excuse myself from any situation where I can help, and even if I can't help, to not have enough compassion and mercy on another suffering soul than to pray earnestly for them, to seek God in their behalf, to put myself in a position, if I can't do any more, than to get in the ditch and help comfort them in their time of need. Right? We ought to let everything else go, every opportunity we have to be merciful to another human soul, especially of the household of faith, but everybody. Who's my neighbor? Whoever I see. Whoever I come in contact with that I recognize is suffering and I can help. All right. Come get a song, and I'm gonna share this as the great debate. Right, sometimes we look at situations and we try to figure out whether we should or shouldn't help. And you know why we do that? Because sometimes we think if we help, it will make it worse. Okay? And I get that. And we all understand what we're talking about here. We don't enable people if we truly know that it's just going to make it harder for them or worse for them. But there's other ways to be merciful. Right? We don't have to exclude ourselves just because the one thought we had might not have been the most helpful to the person. Right? Because some people, they tell you what they think they need, but that's not really what they need. They need mercy. Right? But it might not be a 20 that they need. It might have been something different. They still need mercy. And I believe God gives discernment in those times. If we're listening, I believe God gives discernment. I believe the Holy Spirit can direct us. And if you're ever in doubt, just do it. I'm all right with standing before Him one day and have erred on that side. Because the truth is, ultimately, I'm not responsible with what they do. It's what I do. And if from my heart, that's what I feel like I need to do, rest on them. If I get to heaven and He say, "Well, you messed up. Shouldn't have gave that fellow that. But I've checked your heart. And I know why you gave." Ain't that what He meant? And that's ultimately what we're judged for anyway, is what? The heart. The heart. I don't know about you, Sam, but I need to move up. I'm not got this one down yet. I found every one of these so far to be a challenge to me. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful. He's not give up on us, Alfred. He'd keep trying to work it in there. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They shall. God's merciful. Oh, how merciful. Somebody with a word before we sing. Anybody? You're here and need the Lord. The altar's open. I'll invite you to come. Make your peace with God. There ain't no reason living without it. But you'll have to make it with Him. As long as you stay away from that, you're going to miss out on the greatest treasure in all this world. He didn't have to, but He said, "I give you my peace." Well, that's some mercy right there, wasn't it? I didn't deserve that one. Boy, that was a good one. He said, "I don't give you like the world gives peace." He said, "I'm giving you my peace." When I got born again, I just keep unwrapping that gift. Amen. It just keeps giving. I've no right to shut up my heart toward anybody. No, He's been merciful to me. God help us to be merciful people. In every circumstance, to be merciful. Stand with us. If you need the Lord,
Kyle.